Well, hello there, and welcome to the Mill Housing Nation podcast, where we help military families PCS better. I'm your host, Lindsay Litton. Over the next 20 minutes, we're dishing out tips, tricks, and actionable steps you can implement to make your next PCS an easy one. From interviews with military real estate experts to fellow powerhouse military spouses, we're highlighting some of the major issues that impact military families when they move. And before we get started, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Mill Housing Network. Mill Housing Network connects military families with local military real estate experts all over the U.S. If you're considering buying or selling a home, go to milhousingnetwork.com, or you can always find us on Facebook. So let's dive in. Today's guest is a fellow military spouse and real estate investor slash developer, Miss Victoria Griggs. Miss Victoria, welcome.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, I am super excited about this. First of all, you don't hear a lot about military spouses getting into the investor round. You don't hear about a lot of females getting into that round. So this is an episode I'm pretty excited to dive into.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting field, and I'm excited to share more about it with you guys.
Woo, woo. So let's get going. Let's talk about your military life before you got into investing. So how long have you been a military spouse, and how many PCSs?
So we have been married for just over 9 years. We dated for 5 years before that, though. So 9 years of marriage, we have been through 5 PCSs together. Our current station, we have been at for just over a year, but we had just come off of a period of time where we PCS'd 4 Decembers in a row.
Oh, so, around Christmas?
I'm sorry?
Around Christmas?
Yes, like 2 weeks before Christmas.
Stop.
Like December 15th seems to be our date, our lucky date for some reason. And yeah, so our average time in station is just 18 months.
Oh my.
So we did a really rough couple years there of just move.
Oh man. Okay, so how did you make Christmas special if you were unpacking boxes?
It was a little different every year. It kind of depended on where we were and what family was able to come help us move at that point in time. Cuz that's ultimately we were like we're going to either dropped our boxes and ran for family or family came to us and we were like, we hope you enjoy all the extra wrapping paper that is the paper filling our boxes.
You didn't have to wrap
gifts. Never-ending Christmas.
No, it was like a never-ending Christmas day. You just kept unwrapping brown boxes.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. I don't think I've interviewed a guest that has moved at Christmas time every single time. That's amazing. Hashtag, yeah. Come on, military. No more moves around Christmas.
Right.
So how has military life impacted your career?
Oh, gosh, so much. So clearly 4 moves, 4 years in a row, that's really rough. That's a grueling pace for anybody. It's absolutely a grueling pace for somebody that wants to also have a career and not just be a professional packer slash unpacker.
You mean that's not fulfilling?
Yeah. I struggled for many years trying to find a job that would work with military life. And, I mean, I did everything. I sold baked goods, I made bath bombs, I sold stationery, I ran an online boutique, I designed children's clothing, all over the place. And until I decided to commit to real estate a couple years ago, I had always had this really traditional view of work, and starting a business and like, oh, I'm going to start a business and you have a product and it's good. And you start with a really good foundation and you work your way up the mountain of success. But I kept, you know, over those first few years, I kept having this like really difficult time, not because those things didn't work out, but because I kept feeling like, you know, on the mountain of success, I wasn't going up it. I felt like I kept walking around like the side of the mountain. Because every time I would get ready to take that next step, we would move.
Move time. Yeah.
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 And I think everyone can like relate to that it can just be really difficult when you're ready to grow, to go up that mountain, to build something bigger and taller and higher. And then a move kind of makes you start building the foundation again.
Yep.
And that's so frustrating. So a couple of years ago, I sat down and I really tried to think about how I could, instead of finding a job that I could take with me, how I could find, like, create a job. Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of the right way to say this.
PCS proof? Something that you could take no matter where you go? Something to help grow
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so like I wanted to create a job that allowed me to move, but not necessarily that moved with me.
Mm-hmm.
Which
okay.
is a really nuanced difference. Like, I know it's a weird little difference, and I think a lot of remote workers would maybe understand that like I realized that trying to move it with me personally for me was difficult.
Yeah.
Because I kept having that stumbling block of, well, now I have to start over. Whereas if I found a job that the job kind of stayed put and I moved around,
right,
I could do that and I could build something that way. So I think a lot of remote workers get that. And that's, I think, the thing that I most relate it to. What I do is like, remote work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just remote management. So I knew that I wanted to do something business-related. I knew that I wanted to do something where I was more in management than in necessarily, like, sales or manufacturing. I'm generally not a crafty person, so I'm like not one of the like I there's those people that can like cook beautifully and DIY beautifully, and they can do it on a consistent basis, and I'm like not that person. So,
Karina, my business partner would love you. I, on the other hand, happen to be Miss Craft Queen, but Karina, she goes, my idea of crafting is put together spreadsheets.
Oh, I love a good spreadsheet. Yeah, that's me. And, like, I'll craft, I'll do it. But, like, once I do it once, I'm like, okay, I'm done with that.
We're good.
I'm not going to do that again. Whereas a spreadsheet, I will get all into that. So so that's I came about finding, I found real estate. I decided it was something I wanted to do. That in and of itself was, like, a whole learning process. I spent, like, 6 months just learning before I even was like, hey, husband, guess what I think I want to do with my life. Which was a fun surprise for him.
I bet.
And, so I spent a ton of time learning and figuring it out before I put a plan into action.
So let's talk about exactly what real estate investing and developing means. Can you tell more of the listeners about, because this is a totally different, field in the real estate industry. So to draw the distinction, it's not being in real estate, it's not being a realtor. So can you describe right. what this means as being an investor and a developer?
Yeah. So as a developer and an investor, what I do is I look for properties that I can invest in that will make me money in some way, either through flipping or buy and hold, like where I would turn it into a rental,
mm-hmm.
And they'll make us money. And so the day-to-day of that is really varied. It's not like an office job where you go in and you work 9 to 5. Some days I work an hour, and some days I work 16 hours. like last week, I worked 3 14-hour days because we just bought some properties, and so I had to be there, and I was out checking windows and coordinating lawn care and
mm-hmm.
all these kinds of things. But some days, like today, I had a couple phone calls with an insurance company, and that's probably going to be about it for today. I really like the details of the work, so I'm really involved as an investor. But the beautiful thing about being an investor is you can kind of pick and choose what you would like to do. You may love the deals, or you may love the management, but not finding the deals. So you may have someone else find you the deals and you self-manage them, or, you know, you get to choose what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really lovely part of it. But yeah, just like a realtor, I need to know my market.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not a realtor.
Okay.
So I work with realtors. I've been through realtor school, but I choose not to operate as a realtor because there's realtors out there that are just better at that than I am.
Well,
so.
I love that you say that because you've got to know your niche within the industry.
Indeed, yeah, and I fully believe that. Like, every day I work with realtors. I work with management companies. I work with lenders. I work with title companies. I love doing the research part of it, and that is where my skill set is really valuable, but I know where my limits are. And so a realtor just is going to be better at, you know, some things than I'm ever going to be. So I'm going to trust that professional to do that job.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
It is
yeah.
perfect. So I love that you kind of described, you know, what it is that you do. What's the difference between what you do and buying a home that you live in and then renting it out when you PCS? So I want to get personal here. What do you do personally? I have a particular strategy that I do. I buy and sell everywhere I go. My business partner,
yeah.
Karina, buys and holds everywhere she goes. What do you do as an investor? I'm interested.
Yeah, so we rent, which I know is not what I think
Stop
most
it.
People would expect. But we rent, but I own 5 properties. So
okay,
we rent. We just don't live in the house that we rent in. And I think that that's actually really great. Like, there's a bunch of different strategies. I would call all of them being a real estate investor. And I think that, like, you buy and sell at every place. That really lends itself to your strength as a realtor. Whereas I am not, that's not my strength. I have some different skills that allow me to see different types of deals. And I would be less secure about, for me, like, I wouldn't be as confident in myself making that choice.
Right.
But I totally get it. Like, I'm like, well, if I were a realtor, I would definitely do that. So there's, you know, it's one of those things where, like, there's a lot of different strategies of how to make real estate really valuable and worthwhile for a family. And it's just figuring out which one is right for you.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, a lot of military personnel do that. They'll, like, buy and hold it thinking they're going to rent it out. Mm-hmm. And that works and that's fine. But for me, I'm not as well, we've been sent to some crazy places. And, you know, it's very market specific. I'm sure that there are people that, you know, you'll go to a market and you'll just be like, I know this market's overpriced. There's no, I'm not going to choose this market. Or, you know, and that's, so it's very market specific and you kind of have to know what you're doing. And I think everyone knows somebody that's done that and been really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone knows somebody that's done that and been really unsuccessful.
And as a realtor, I always tell people, because they always ask, like, well, should I buy here? And I love what you said, and I'll draw emphasis on it. Every family situation is different. Every family has different financial goals. So I think that's why it's key to work with a realtor that knows the market. Obviously, our Mill Housing Network realtors are pre-screened and do a lot of real estate in the market so that they can identify trends. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for all families. I say it all the time. You know, it might not make sense in the market that you're moving to, but it might make sense in the next market. And it might make sense. My buy and sell strategy doesn't make sense in every market either. It just happened to make sense in the last 3 that I've lived in. And there's particular things that you want to look for if you're going to do a buy and sell strategy. Number one, always buy in a good school district because that's going to help insulate your investment. but yeah, I mean, it's difficult. And I think as a military family, because we're doing it so often, that it can be definitely intimidating.
Yeah. And for us too, I will say, like, for us, that strategy doesn't work because, I mean, one of our assignments was 11 months.
Yes.
I don't even want to consider like buying and selling a house in the same calendar year.
Nope.
So, you know, there are just times when it doesn't work, and that's okay.
Yep. And my rule of thumb for families is usually the 3-year mark. If you know you're going to be somewhere for 3 years and it makes sense, a buy and sell strategy will make sense for you. Less than that, it might be a buy and hold strategy, simply because the you never know what the real estate market's going to do. It's kind of like investing in the stock market. And you, by not participating in the real estate market, are taking a gamble. And by participating in the market, you take a gamble. So I always educate folks. Again, talk with a professional, understand your situation, understand your level of risk. I tend to have a little bit of a higher risk tolerance than some. And so I also realize that when you risk high, you could lose high. So you never know.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about what are some of the biggest conceptions about real estate investing. Because I think a lot of people think, ooh, I don't know, like, where am I going to get the money and how do I do it and how do I get started in it? And so maybe you can give us some ideas on how, as a military spouse, you got into it and how that, what are some of the misconceptions people have, and they're thinking, I can't do this. I've never bought a house before, you know? So
right.
Talk us through.
Yeah. I feel like real estate investing sounds like this big thing. And I think the biggest misconception is that you have to have tons of money to start. Especially the military community, we have this wonderful, amazing thing called the VA loan.
Yes.
And I highly recommend that people learn how to utilize their VA loan exceptionally well. And that doesn't just mean get one house with the VA loan.
Nope.
Did you know you can get up to 4 units with the VA loan?
Yes,
you know, learning more about that is super helpful. And so I think that is the key, that learning portion of learn what all of your options are. Go out and pick up a book, find a podcast. I learned everything that I know about how to be a real estate investor from a few books and a few websites and a podcast. And it was basically all free. Yeah. So I love the Bigger Pockets podcast. It's free. I probably listened to 300 episodes before I got started doing the work, but I started then with a really good knowledge base of how to do what I wanted to do. And there's a lot of different options. You can become a realtor, you can become a wholesaler, you can become a syndicator. And both of those are basically, they put together deals for passive investors or for companies that are looking for great housing deals. And those don't require any money down at all. You're just basically being paid to be the person who fits all the pieces of the puzzle together. So you can wholesale, you can syndicate, you can become a realtor. I know you guys are a great resource for like how to do that. You can become a Mill Housing Network ambassador, perhaps.
I did not pay her to say this.
You did not? You did not? I just know about them. And it's a good intro for, you know, for how to get into the field and learn more about it. And I'm just a really big advocate of, like, just go listen and learn. And if it's the right thing for you, you'll know, because you'll keep coming back to it.
Well, and I love that. And I love that you gave some concrete ideas. I love that you demystified the VA loan, because so many people think that you can only use it once and it's only good on one house. Not true. I've seen people use it multiple times. And if it is an option for you, it's probably one of the best loan products out there. So I definitely think, again, connect with a quality resource, connect with a realtor, a lender, a trusted resource that can give you more perspective. And of course, we have lots of resources on our website about how to do that. But I love that. And I love that you just like took it as an initiative. I did the same thing when I got into real estate. I just read the first book that I read was Millionaire Real Estate Agent. And then everybody asked, like, how did you get so successful in your first year in real estate? And I'm like, I just followed the model of the book. That was it.
Right. Yep.
Just followed the book.
Exactly. Yeah. I listened to Bigger Pockets and then I did what they said.
Yep.
That's what I did.
Yep. Most people just won't implement the tools that they're given. So if you just listen to the things and implement it, just follow somebody else's path.
Yep. Indeed.
So now that you've found success and passion in investing, what are the 4 things you would say to a listener who's struggling to find a career?
Okay. So one, be a lifelong learner. I'm really big on that. Whether it's the medical field or real estate or health and wellness, find a way to learn something today. Especially if you're in a job that you know like isn't the end all be all for you, pick a topic, any topic. Like get a book at the library, find a free podcast, find a website, find an Insta feed you love. If you stay interested in it and you keep coming back to it, like just keep doing that. And if not, move on. And at least you've learned something you didn't know before. But if you keep learning, you'll eventually figure out what that thing is that you're passionate about. Number two, I would say play to your strengths. I love research. So, like, I'm the nerd that could do title searches all day long.
Oh gosh,
I
Karina
think
would love
there's,
you. You and Karina are like
I like,
hidden
yes.
BFFs.
A good spreadsheet and some like original documents, and I'm all over it. So research like that like really is one of my strengths. So it's easy for me to get up every day and want to look at deals and want to evaluate deals because that's where my strengths are.
Yep.
Finding something that harnesses your strengths is key because it's the place where you're going to feel successful, and so you're going to keep coming back to that. The third one is really big, and it's don't be afraid to think big. This one's hard, and this gets into like some military spouse gray area that can just be really hard to confront. But for a really long time, I thought I had to find a passion that was going to fit inside of an 18-inch square cardboard box with a PCS sticker on it. And my career truly started when I started to think like crazy big. And I feel like you probably had a similar experience. A real estate company for me, a real estate investing company, aligns with my family, my interests, my needs, and my lifestyle. For a really long time, I was really scared because my husband's dream, his service to his country, is really big. And I didn't think we could both have something that big at the same time.
Yeah. Been there.
Right? I mean, all I can say is I was wrong. I spent years struggling with military life because when I started to think, I just thought, I thought I couldn't have that. I thought I couldn't have a big thing too. And that's just not the truth. But once I started to think big and started to work towards that big thing, magic
Preach,
happened.
sister. Preach.
Right? I feel like you probably have had that same experience. And I think a lot of military spouses feel that it's hard to find where you can be big, because your spouse's dedication to their service is also really, really big. And I guess the last thing is just keep walking, like keep going. Just because you're not successful yet doesn't mean you won't be. Because that yet part is really important. It indicates like there's future to come. There is more. And so, if you keep learning and you keep finding your strengths and like building those strengths, and you keep dreaming and thinking really big, you'll get there, but you have to keep moving in that direction.
Yes, just keep moving. And I think
Right?
Karina and I always say that, because if people ask us, like, how did y'all get here? And I said, oh, well, you didn't see the 95 times we tripped and fell on our face, skinned our knees, and got back up.
Right. Right.
It was a lot of it, and it continues to be, because our dream is so incredibly big, so incredibly bigger than what we're currently doing, that you're absolutely right. And don't not dare to dream big. You deserve it too, and it can be
Yeah.
done.
Absolutely.
And I think you'll find that your spouse will be incredibly supportive of that. And at least I know mine is. And I know when I have tough times, he looks at me and says, like, are you kidding me? I'm fighting a war on terrorism. Get back in there.
I'm going to have to tell my spouse that one. He's going to love to pull that out every now and then.
Anytime I'm crying about something going on that seems, you know, epic in my world, he looks at me and he goes, we're fighting a war on terrorism. Dust yourself back off and get back in there.
All right. Well, thanks for the perspective, dude.
I know. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's a good one.
Helpful tips by my husband, Ruben.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
If our listeners want to get connected with you, and you are fabulous, by the way, so we have to have you back on the show because I don't even feel like we dipped into any of the wealth and depth and of knowledge that you have to bring our community. Where can they go to connect with you?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's called Unlimited Pie. So it's www.unlimitedpie, and that's PIE.com. And mostly what's there is you can learn about my philosophy on housing and real estate and how we're building our company. And then there's a big section on learning where I'm going to post all the resources, like all the free information that I use to get where I am. Mm-hmm. There's going to be links and information there. There's books and podcasts and websites and all these different things that people can just utilize if they're interested in learning more. And they can sign up for my monthly email there too. That email is really just once a month, and it's kind of a focused prompt for personal growth and learning about business, particularly real estate-based businesses, but it does sort of apply to all businesses. If you're just looking for a way to prompt yourself to push a little harder.
I love it. I love it. I'm sensing a bigger collaboration here, Victoria, so thanks for being a part of the Mill Housing Nation podcast today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I have had a great time. Thanks.
Yeah. So if you want to get our show notes with more information, we're going to have links to everything that Victoria talked about today. You can visit us on our website as well at milhousingnetwork.com. Click on the podcast link and you'll see Victoria's episode. While you're there, take a moment to browse some of the past episodes, opt in to work with one of our amazing realtors, or request to become an upcoming guest on one of our shows. We're also in iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to our alerts there. And I want to thank everybody for taking a moment to listen with us. I'm Lindsay Linton, and I want to thank Victoria again for being a guest. And we wish you guys happy real estate investing.